So no doubt you've probably caught sight of a particularly questionable or absurd news headline before, and there's definitely no shortage of them. Well, you, Jeff Field, have some from the past week to share and dig into here on Not News.
Yes, we affectionately call this Not the News segment. Now, if you are a new listener, you're travelling in your car, you haven't heard 2SER before, this is where we run stories that have been making news that, in our opinion, should not really be getting the coverage they're getting. Mm-hmm. And we finish off with some stories or a story that should have been getting news coverage but didn't. Sure. Does that make sense?
Totally does, yes.
I'm glad it made sense to you. Well, let's start out with this one. I almost don't like mentioning this man's name because of the controversy he creates, but I'm going to. This is why it's in Not the News and not in our news bulletins. Mm. But outspoken boxer Anthony Mundine has weighed into the vaccination debate, imploring Australians not to vaccinate their children. Can you believe this? Mundine took to Twitter to share his controversial views, encouraging his followers to go against what he considered an act of bullying by the Australian government. Yes, I'm not making... You couldn't make this up. Don't vaccine your kids! Exclamation mark. The government bully you into vaccination. Do your research on this. I won't say the word. S-H-I-T. Mm-hmm. And... watch the documentary Vaxxed, he tweeted. Of course, this is the man that also believes gays and pedophiles should be subject to capital punishment. So there, I've done it in my Not the News segment, and never again will I mention that story because I think it's not only irresponsible, I think it's disgraceful.
Yeah, so, I mean, he shouldn't be given any airtime at all. I feel like we've just...
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's the whole thing about this segment.
Exactly.
We're pointing out the fact this was given major headline status on several websites late yesterday, and I just think that's really irresponsible of certain media outlets to do it.
It is.
And I won't mention them, but there was a media outlet that I expect much more of who did publish this story. That's the last you'll hear of that man's name.
I mean, yeah, there is a fine line between, health, looking out for people's health and the controversy or clicks, clickbait.
Yeah.
You got to prioritise people's health and those who maybe aren't educated in that area.
Correct, Julia. And it's always hard for a journalist which is why this segment is such a cop-out for me, because I get to actually shine a light on the stories that have been making news in other media outlets, which I think shouldn't have been, in my opinion.
Mm.
I think it's very irresponsible to listen to the anti-vaxxers. Let's move on to something lighter but still disturbing in many ways. A record-breaking performance from Married at First Sight has helped the Nine Network secure one of its biggest ratings of the year. Now, the finale dinner party episode of Nine's so-called reality juggernaut this week brought in 1,858,000 metro viewers, jumping to the 2,400,000 when combined with regional viewers, giving the show a new high across all six seasons. Now, if you're depressed hearing this, I'm going to say this, Julia, right? That sounds really depressing.
Mm.
But we can say 23 million people didn't watch it. So let's paint
Thank
it
you.
In that way.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah.
I refuse to watch this show.
I'm in the same boat.
Because of the premise. It first started operating before marriage equality, which I think a lot of us that were fighting for marriage equality were disgusted to think that a TV show could take the issue of marriage in such a frivolous manner. It was almost a slap in the face.
Sure, yeah.
To those of us campaigning, not just those of us campaigning, but also lots of other people with morals. Did I say that? No, I don't want to sound like I'm being puritanical here, but kind of depressing to think that's one of the most watched shows of the year when there are so many important issues, documentaries on other channels that aren't being watched. Well, I don't know if this makes you any happier. There's another show that probably will pull in more viewers this year, the State of Origin Rugby League series. So that's the state of TV in this country. And finally, in Not the News, can I please stress to 2SER listeners, this is the Not the News segment. So please don't switch us off and think we've gone down the Daily Mail route. We haven't. I'll just rephrase that. Now, look, we're being told by several websites again, it's an iconic Aussie brand that's found in almost every home across the country. But Nestlé Australia has just announced, he says breathlessly, a major change to its recipe, launching a new 30% less added sugar version of Milo. After copping a backlash over the product's controversial 4.5-star rating added this year. Adding to Nestlé's excited according to Nestlé's excited spokeswoman, Margaret Stewart, the new formula tastes exactly the same as the old Milo, so people won't even notice the difference. And that was a news story during the week. To me, that's an ad.
30% less sugar, guys.
I'll give them kudos for that. But sure. Is that really a news story?
Lots of news stories can be read as advertising for sure. That happens more than not. Yeah.
Kind of like stupid but depressing, that segment. Mm. So let me get to the good part of the segment.
Okay, what should have been in the news?
I've been saying to Tess how it seems really important and also depressing that the Aged Care Royal Commission hasn't really been getting the coverage it deserves. I feel with the New Zealand massacre, shenanigans with One Nation, this story has kind of like been pushed under the radar. I don't feel we've been hearing enough about it. I can tell you a Senate inquiry this week recommended that the federal government take steps to make it clear that residential aged care providers ultimately hold a duty of care to all residents and that the Quality Commission has a similar responsibility for regulation. Now, the inquiry into aged care quality assessment and accreditation also called on the government to respond to key aged care reports from the past decade to improve the delivery of aged care services and regulation in a recommendation that's strongly supported by aged care peak bodies. So I did promise I would keep an eye on this because it's really sad that the Banking Royal Commission made headlines day after day, but this Royal Commission seems to have faded into the background in the last few weeks. So let's hope editors and journalists refocus on this issue that ultimately will affect all of us, whether it's a family member or even ourselves. So I'm going to make it a task of the 2SER newsroom to dig down and have a look and see what's happening at this Royal Commission. Because if you tuned in and watched the TV news or listened to the radio day after day, you heard about people telling horror stories of, losing their life savings. This Royal Commission is continuing. We're hearing horror stories of people being mistreated, of people being ripped off, of people being left in their own waste to sleep. We're hearing of nursing homes that are understaffed, where people with not the right qualifications are administering very dangerous psychotropic drugs. Mm-hmm. And yet that seems to have gone under the radar.
Yeah, I mean,
it disturbs me.
Yeah, it all blew up with the Four Corners investigation. That was
yes,
a couple months
thank
ago.
Thank you, Four and then Corners.
Royal Commission announcements.
Yeah.
And just since you're so right.
Yeah, now so I wanted to mention that because did you hear about that story this week? I didn't.
No.
I had to dig down deep for that because I actually promised Tess 2 weeks ago that I would keep an eye on this. And I've actually found it hard to get information on this Royal Commission. Remember, it's a Royal
That's
Commission.
That's the whole point, The whole point is to...
Now, I believe you've got something to add to this segment.
I did have a story I saw in the headlines this week about calculator bits found in hot cross buns, and I thought that might be funny, but it's actually not quite funny at all.
Wow, could you repeat that?
Calculator bits found in hot cross buns. I was just on the ABC and I was scrolling through the headlines and it seemed to be a particularly, slow news day or something because there were so many absurd headlines.
Well, the headline itself has got my... I'm scratching my head.
But it's not actually that funny, is it?
No.
It's quite dangerous to think that there are... I think they were withdrawn or I don't know what's happening with that.
So you're saying...
It was in Adelaide, so we're fine here.
But you are telling me bits of calculators, which is metallic, have been found.
I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't read beyond the headline because I was in class.
Guess what everyone's going to do now, Julia? You're going to lose listeners because everyone's going to race around to their computer. Now, keep the radio switched on. But people are going to race to their computer and type in computer Easter buns.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Hot cross buns.
Anyway, that was just something I just thought of.
You know what? That's a perfect way to end the segment.
Yes, okay.
Thanks, Julia.
Thank you very much.
On a more serious note, we will bring you the election date as soon as we find out.
Yes. 8 a.m. as predicted.
Thank you.
But we'll see. All right. Thank you very much, Jeff, for the news there.
Thank you.
Or not the news.
Yes.